I'd ask you to turn your Bible with me here this evening, if you would please. Proverbs chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down through to verse number 7. Our Sunday evening study, with breaks in between for other things, we pick up again tonight with one more message in that sequence, in that study. There is this one and one more to follow, and we will be concluded with it, entitled Godly Instruction, a study in the book of Proverbs. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise in their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And our study right now is on that word instruction and its theme, its idea throughout the book of Proverbs. We've noted in the past there is a sequence for us to deal with. When God works in our lives, He begins with instruction to bring the truth into our lives. From there, we go from instruction to knowledge. From the instruction, we begin to develop godly or biblical knowledge. As we begin to let that knowledge take root in our hearts and lives, we develop two things. We develop understanding and discretion. Understanding is our ability to make right decisions in the decision matters of life. Discretion is our ability to discipline ourselves in the interaction matters of life. All right. So discretion has to do with me disciplining me, and understanding has to do with me understanding how to decide what I should or should not do in dealing with the things that come at me in life. And those two things, as we develop them in ourselves and we follow down the path of righteousness in them, develops in us ultimately what the book of Proverbs would call wisdom. That is wisdom. The right knowledge leading to the right understanding and discretion leads to us having wisdom. But it all begins with godly instruction. That's where it all begins, and that's what we've been considering. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll proceed with the next message in our study tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would guide us as we look now at the blessings of receiving godly instruction aright. And Lord, I pray that these blessings would encourage our hearts and would motivate our hearts to pursue godly instruction, to listen to it, to receive it, to follow after it as we ought. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The main points that we've considered already, the definition of godly instruction. That definition is the idea of building some kind of structure of information, skill, or character within an individual. When we come to the book of Proverbs, it's specifically the matter of our character that is in focus. And so here in this study in the book of Proverbs, we're looking at how an individual's inner character is developed in godliness. The book of Proverbs, we understand that includes training, that includes admonition, that includes reproof, and that includes chastening. Then we looked at the substance of godly instruction, where the Word of God tells us in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. There is no instruction without the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord literally is the substance of godly instruction. The character of godly instruction, that is, that it will teach us justice and judgment and equity. You can see that right in our reading portion in verse number 3 of Proverbs chapter 1, to receive the instruction of wisdom. What is it? Justice and judgment and equity. Justice, how to act with righteous behavior. Judgment, how to make righteous decisions, and equity, how to be righteous in character. The need for godly instruction. We talked about three categories of individuals that the book of Proverbs reveals need godly instruction. The first category is the need of our children. The book of Proverbs makes that clear to parents. doesn't really communicate that to the children. It communicates that to the parents by teaching us that our children need godly instruction. And it's our responsibility to make sure that they get it. Then there's also the need of young adults. That's the theme throughout the book of Proverbs. Primarily, the audience of the book of Proverbs is young adulthood. Primarily, young male adulthood. But young adults need this godly instruction. And then there's the need of the wise. That is, those who've already grown in wisdom still need more godly instruction. The revelation of godly instruction, that is, how a person responds to godly instruction, reveals things about their character. If they listen to it, if they regard it, if they love it, it reveals that they are wise in character, that they are prudent in character, and that they love to grow in maturity. If, on the other hand, they despise it, if they find it grievous, if they hate it, it reveals that they are foolish in character. It reveals that they have forsaken the way of righteousness and reveals that they are brutish in character. They reject it. They hate it. They literally are, the word brutish means like an animal, as dumb as an ox. That's its meaning. Then the reception of godly instruction. That is, how should we go about receiving it? And what we've learned already in that is we should carefully listen to godly instruction. We should value godly instruction above all else. We should invest ourselves in godly instruction. We should pursue daily after godly instruction. We should apply our hearts to godly instruction. We should take fast hold of godly instruction. We should obediently follow godly instruction. We should not resist God's corrective instruction, but on the other hand, we should utterly reject all ungodly instruction. And that leads us then to the message tonight. The benefits of receiving godly instruction. If we want to receive it, we've learned already how to go about receiving it the right way. But there's a lot of effort required to receive it the right way. And when that comes down to it, we need a motivator. We need something to motivate us to say, okay, I'm willing to put forth the righteous effort to receive godly instruction the right way. So what are the motivators in the book of Proverbs? What are the benefits that it reveals to us if we would indeed receive godly instruction God's way? Number one, we will be adorned with beauty of character. We will be adorned with beauty of character. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. All right, that's the instruction of how to receive it. Hear it. Don't forsake it. But now the benefit in verse 9. For they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head, and chains about thy neck. Now, understand here the second part of that verse when it says chains about thy neck. Some of us might hear just that phrase and go, chains about your neck? What? Like a dog leash? That's not the kind of chain it's talking about. I know that because of the first half of the verse. That it will be an ornament of grace upon your head and chains about your neck. What it's actually talking about is what we refer to as a necklace. All right, so it's talking about some form of ornament on the head, like a crown or a tiara or something like that, and necklaces around the neck. All of these things to adorn an individual. Now, commonly in the physical world, those are used to adorn us physically, right? But here he's talking about godly instruction, and he's using an illustration. He's saying if you receive the godly instruction of your parents, godly instruction that God sends through your parents to into your life, into your heart, if you'll receive it, if you'll hear it, not forsake it, it will become an adornment in your life. It will adorn you. It will bring beauty to your life. But it's not going to be literally a physical necklace or literally a physical crown or tiara. It's going to be an adornment of godly character. Your character will develop, and that character itself will adorn you with beauty. People will come around you, and because of the character that's developed in your life, they will find you to be beautiful. Not necessarily because your hair is so beautiful, or not necessarily because your face or your eyes are beautiful eyes. That's beautiful eye color or whatever it is. They're not looking at the outside. They're going to see your character and say, there's somebody who is beautiful in character. Amen? And that will come from listening to and following after and obeying godly instruction. That's how it comes about. That's how we develop godly character that beautifies us, that adorns us. In the New Testament, we have something similar referenced specifically with regard to women, do we not? In 1 Peter chapter 3, where it talks about the adornment that's of great value in the sight of God. And it's defined as a meek and quiet spirit, or a meek and quiet character. And there again, it's not talking about a physical adornment. It's talking about a character adornment that is in the sight of God of great price and great beauty. Number two, the second benefit. The first one is adorned with beauty of character. The second one, you will learn the truth and spirit of God's wisdom. By receiving godly instruction, you will learn the truth and the spirit of God's wisdom. Both the facts of the truth as well as the character or attitude of God's wisdom. Notice in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 20. Proverbs 19 and verse 20, the Word of God makes this statement. Hear, Proverbs 19 verse 20, not chapter 20, verse 20, Pastor, 19, verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction. All right, there it is again. Hear it, receive it, and what benefit will it bring? Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Basically, what he's picturing here is if you want to get from where you are now to being a wise person, if you want to get from there to here, to being wise in your latter end, to being a wise individual, you have to come through the path of listening to godly counsel and of, he says, hear counsel and receive instruction. You have to listen to what godly counsel, and you have to have your heart open to accept that godly counsel into your heart, that godly instruction into your heart. That's the path to get from where we start out. And how do we start out? How many of us started out foolish? How many of us started out wise? Well, not with godly wisdom, actually. The Bible tells us straight up in the book of Proverbs, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Right? We all start out foolish, and we have to grow in wisdom. How many think you've developed some wisdom since you were a teenager? Some. I'm not saying all wisdom. I'm not even saying a lot of wisdom, Dad. I'm just saying some. A little bit, all right, since you were a teenager. Some are here and saying, no, I can't have developed wisdom since I was a teenager. I'm still a teenager. And some here in the room are saying, I can't have developed wisdom since I was a teenager. I haven't even made it to the teenager yet. And depending on how you behave, you might not. Yeah, you never really know. But the truth of the matter is that we have a path. If we're going to get to real wisdom in our life, godly wisdom, biblical wisdom in our life, there's only one avenue to get there. We have to receive godly instruction. We have to hear godly counsel and receive godly instruction, or else we'll never get there. We'll be foolish our whole lives. And I'm sure that you know some people like that. In fact, sometimes when I look in the mirror, I think that the person that's looking back at me is still just as foolish as ever he was. And some days my wife probably would say, and I second that motion. All right, some days at least, she might yet say that. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 32 as well. Proverbs 15, verse number 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Again, the avenue. How do we get to godly wisdom? How do we get to godly understanding? The path to get there, he says in verse 32, is by hearing reproof. Now, what's interesting here is the other verse said, hear counsel, receive instruction. And this one adds that we need to hear or receive reproof. So not only positive instruction, but also negative reproof if we're going to get to wisdom. But what does he say in the first half of that verse? He that refuseth instruction does what? Despises his own soul. I want you to think about that for a moment. What does that mean? Because he's putting it in contrast. If you receive instruction, you get to godly wisdom, godly understanding. If you receive godly reproof, you get to godly wisdom, godly understanding. But if you reject that reproof and reject that instruction, you despise your own soul. How do those two things contrast? What's the picture of contrast? Well, here, you get to godly wisdom, you walk with God. And isn't that going to bring positive direction to your life and to your future? But if you reject it, you don't walk with God. You walk in the opposite direction. And what's the ultimate end of those who walk away from God their whole lifetime through? Destruction. Ultimately, what he's saying is they end up in destruction, and it's their own fault for rejecting godly instruction and godly counsel and godly reproof. They did it to themselves. They despise their own soul. Now, what they will think is, no, I'm not despising myself. What I'm actually doing is despising that instruction. I'm actually despising God and what God wants in God's word and God's will so that I can enjoy myself. And what God says, oh, you'll enjoy yourself for a temporary period of time, but ultimately what you will have done is destroyed yourself. You despise your own soul. That's the opposite of this, but the benefit here is, number one, you'll adorn yourself with beauty of character. Number two, you will actually learn the truth of God's wisdom and the spirit of God's wisdom. That is, both the truth, the substance of what is right, the information, the truth that is right, and the attitude or the spirit of what is right as well. So not just that I know it, but I am actually governed by it. Number three, you will develop a close relationship with the Lord. If you're willing to consistently receive and respond aright to godly instruction, both the positive instruction and the negative corrective, if you're willing to do that, then you will develop a close relationship with the Lord. Notice Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. He says, my son, despise not the chastening. Now, remember back a number of weeks ago when we looked at this and I said that this word for instruction in the book of Proverbs is used a complete total. The Hebrew word is used a total of 30 times. 25 of those times, it is translated with the English word instruction. 4 of those times, it's translated with the English word correction. And 1 time, it is translated with the English word chastening. That's right here in Proverbs 3, verse number 11. It's the same Hebrew word that is normally translated instruction. But when it comes from the negative side, a corrective instruction could be translated correction or chastening. So here in Proverbs 3, verse 11, he says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Don't despise it, but receive it. Because if you do receive it, what's the benefit? For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. What he's indicating here by this portion of scripture is that if we will receive God's instruction, we will grow in our father-son relationship with God. Now, it doesn't make me more of a son or less of a son. Wesley is all the way in the back. I'll not make him come all the way up here for the illustration. But, you know, Wesley, my son here tonight, he became my son the moment he was conceived. And he will remain my son technically for eternity, won't he? I mean, if you think about it, technically he never ceases to be my son. But there have been periods of time when our father-son relationship is better than other times. Okay? When it's not good, it doesn't erase that he's my son. He's still my son. The relationship's just not good. But on the other hand, when he's listening and when he's following the lead and doing those things that a son does through the years of the upbringing, when that happens, the relationship is not just dad commanding and child obeying, but over time what develops is a type of friendship relationship. And actually for us as humans, the goal really is to some extent not only to send our children into adulthood as godly adults who love God, but also who can be godly friends of our own. Amen? When they reach that adulthood and to some extent aren't exactly equals, we're still their parents, but they're adults and we're adults and there's an equal type, an equal adulthood level to that, that they also become not just father, child, obey me, but a type of friendship involved. But you know, if the years of upbringing, there's a lot of friction, division, departure, that's not going to be that friendship, will it? Now, that illustration I give to you, not to really communicate about parent-child relation per se, but to bring forward what God is presenting to us in this passage. He's the Father. We're His children. How are we going to develop a closer and closer fellowship and relationship with God, our Heavenly Father? He says, respond well to His instruction. Specifically in the passage, it is respond well to His corrective instruction. Because that's usually the place where the friction really generates, isn't it? The friction first generates between a father and his son. When the father gives an instruction, the son disobeys. Then the father steps into discipline. And if the child doesn't yield to that discipline, but gets harder and more stubborn by it, what happens to the relationship? The friction of the relationship, the division of the relationship continues to grow. Well, that's what happens with us and God. Tell me, you don't have to give me an actual verbal illustration. You don't have to stand up and tell us about it. But I want you to think for a moment. Have there ever been periods of time in your life where you have rebelled against God and God brought chastening, but you rejected that and you rebelled anyway? How close to God were you? I mean, really, when you prayed during that period of time, did you think God was really close and right there listening? Or did you feel like God was afar off? Why? Because not responding correctly, not receiving correctly His instruction and His correction into our lives. But if we will receive it, one of the benefits is that we will grow in our, or develop a closer relationship with the Lord. Number four. The fourth benefit of receiving godly instruction is we will walk in every good path of righteousness. We will walk in every good path of righteousness. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 17. So now not only is it talking about our character, that is, adorned with beauty of character, and learning the truth and spirit of God's wisdom. Not only is it talking about our relationship with God Himself, develop a close relationship with the Lord, but now it begins to talk about our relationship with life. That in life, we will actually walk every good path of righteousness. Proverbs 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuseth reproof erreth or goes off the path of life. There is a path that is the path of life. If we'll listen to correction, if we'll listen to instruction, if we'll receive it, if we'll let it enter into our hearts and govern the way of our lives, even maybe govern us to change things in our lives, we'll be on the path of life. We'll walk every good path of righteousness, that's the path of life. But if we reject that instruction, what happens? Well, we leave the path of life. We err. To err means to step out of bounds. In this case, the boundaries would be, let's say, the path of life is the center aisle. As long as I'm on the path of life, and I'm on the path of life as long as I'm listening to godly instruction and obeying godly instruction. But what if I reject it? What do? I get out of bounds. I get off the path of life. I err. I get off the path of life. But think about it. If I'm off the path of life, what path am I on? If it's not the path of life anymore, what is it? It's the path of destruction, the path of death. The path of, initially it will be spiritual damage, then it will lead to spiritual destruction, and ultimately spiritual death. Praise the Lord, as a child of God, it won't ever end up in hell. Praise the Lord for that. But I got off the path of life. Now I'm on the path of death. I'm in darkness spiritually. That's the direction I'm going. Because I'm rejecting godly instruction and rejecting godly correction in my life. But if you receive it, you'll stay on that path of life. You'll stay on the good path of righteousness. That's four. Number five, the fifth benefit, you'll experience the blessings of the abundant life. You'll experience the blessings of the abundant life. In the New Testament, we have the abundant life filled out a little bit more for us. Jesus Christ making the statement, I'm come to give them life and to give that more abundantly. But in the Old Testament, they have principles about the abundant life as well. So consider with me Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Proverbs actually has three different passages on this to be considered here. Experience the blessings of the abundant life. Proverbs 4, verse number 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. The fullness, the abundance, the blessings of the abundant life. She is the substance of that. The instruction of God. Godly instruction is the very substance that brings you to the blessings of the abundant life. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction, not just positive instruction, the training of instruction, but also the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. Now we have personified wisdom speaking. That's God's personified wisdom. And she says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. What's the benefit then? What's the blessing? For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. We'll come back to that in a moment, that last phrase, shall obtain favor of the Lord, but that's one of our further points. But experience the blessings of the abundant life. Now we have what? Number six. We will be delivered from the temptation of sexual sin. Delivered from the temptation of sexual sin. Go back with me now to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 again. And we're going to continue to verse 24. Says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Okay, so that's one benefit, the way of life. But it goes on to say, to keep thee from, to protect you from, to deliver you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now again, we know the book of Proverbs is given from the perspective of a father teaching and instructing and counseling his young adult son. And so when he's instructing his young adult son about sexual temptation, he's going to focus in about the sexual temptation of the strange woman. All right? If he were instructing his daughter, he would have instructed her about the womanizing man. But either way, the point remains the same. To protect you from this, from sexual sin, from sexual temptation, Godly instruction, if you receive it, if you'll let it develop in your heart, if you'll let it take root in your heart, if you will let it govern the way of life, it will protect you from that. It will deliver you from that. It will keep you from that. And brethren, I know the book of Proverbs is written from the perspective of a father to his son, but I believe the temptation of sexual sin is as great in our day and time. I believe it has been as great since sin entered the world, but is as great in our day and time for our young ladies as it is for our young men. The temptation may come from a different direction. There may be different motivations, but the temptation is just as great either way. And the need for protection and deliverance from that temptation is just as great either way. Amen? Now, I know somebody might come up and say, wait a second. Men aren't the same as women. I agree. So they don't have, women don't have the same drives as men. Well, that's true too. But women will be tempted to it a different way than a man. But the temptation's still there. Yes, they're different. Yes, the avenue's different. Yes, the substance of the temptation will be different, but the temptation's leading to the same sin. And this is a way to protect. But think about it, what we've already learned. If you get off the way of life and you get on to the way of death, where are you likely to end up? In any number of sins that are going to take a hold of your life and drag you under. And this is one of the greatest ones for young people. Not as if those that get older don't have these temptations as well, but especially for young adults, as young people are just moving into adulthood, the temptation of this seems so huge. Actually, our society is trying to push it down to the temptation being that great even before they hit the teens. Let alone when they enter into. But I mean, think about it. I mean, just think about it for a moment. We pray that this is not the case for our Bible colleges. But how many of you recognize that many of our secular colleges and universities, especially those that live on the campuses and so forth, a lot of it has not to do with education. A lot more has to do with the party life. And we all know what we mean when we talk about the party life. Why is that atmosphere, these young adults crammed into these campuses and these sorority houses and so on, why is that such a big deal in that age group? Because it's such a huge temptation coming into young adulthood. So what keeps us, what can help at least protect us from that, deliver us from the temptation of sexual sin? Receiving correctly godly instruction. And then the final one. The final blessing is that it will bring us to be honored and favored before God and men. To be honored and favored before God and men. So the first one we consider, the first two, is about our development of character, our relationship with godly character, adorned with beauty of character, and learn the truth and spirit of God's wisdom. That has to do with our character. Then it's the relationship that we have with the Lord, develop a close relationship with the Lord. Then it is our relationship with life, walk in every good path of righteousness, and experience the blessings of the abundant life. Then it deals with our relationship to sin. That is, it will protect us from sin. Then finally, it's just our relationship to honor. The relationship to honor is that it will bring us to a place where we are honored and favored before God and men. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. We were there a moment ago for the point about experience the blessings of the abundant life, but we'll focus in on one of the phrases we had not earlier. He says, or personified wisdom says, in Proverbs 8, 33, 34, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life, that's the blessings of the abundant life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. All right, so brings us into favor with God. Now look at Proverbs 13, verse 18. Proverbs 13, verse 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Now, he doesn't specify honored by God or with God or before God. He did that in Proverbs chapter 8. That was specified, the favor of the Lord. But here it just says honored in general. It's not just honor and favor with God. There will come an honor and favor from man. Now that is our last point to be considered tonight. So let me just kind of fill that in for a moment and we will conclude. But I can even see that today. As you think about young people that come out in the world, and there's so much talk about this today, that all these companies hiring, and they're desperate to hire, right? Right now, nobody wants to work, and the benefits that the government's handing out is motivating a lot of people not to work. But those who do come to work, you know, that they finally find individuals that they hire. But how many of you are familiar? Maybe you even work a job where this is happening, maybe not. But you're working a job. We talked about in adult Sunday school with Brother Hagin's job. But they're hiring people. But the character of the employee seems to be nowadays significantly different than it was, let's say, a generation ago or two generations ago. And, okay, right now, the way things are, businesses, bosses, they keep them around. Because as sometimes is said, well, they're a warm body, they get more done than nobody. I don't know, because if they do too much damage, there's more work required to fix what they mess up than there is if you just didn't have them at all. But that's kind of the viewpoint now. They're a warm body that even though they don't really give me a full day's work for full day's pay, they're getting something done which is more than nobody would get done. That's kind of the philosophy. So nobody is getting rid of them. On top of that, if you fire them, nowadays it's almost like they have more rights than you do. So, you know, you feel restricted on every front. But I'm going to ask you this. Do you think the bosses really respect those workers? I mean, they keep them around. A warm body's better than nobody. They keep them around. But do you honestly think they really find honor and respect in the sight of their employer, their boss, the management? Do you really think so? Maybe if you have a company like this, you know the answer. And the answer is absolutely not. In fact, actually, they don't even get honored by the coworkers who are hardworking coworkers. They find a little bit of despising toward them too. Why? Well, you know, the type that are governed by the principles of God's Word, and even in God's Word, there are principles about being the right kind of worker. But if it develops godly character in you in all the different realms of your character, there is an honor that that brings. People recognize that and they respect it. I'm not saying that that will prevent all persecution. I'm not saying that that will prevent all mockery or all reproach to the godly, because we know the truth. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, from someone, at some point, somewhere, suffer persecution. But I'm also here to tell you it will generate from some, at some times, in some places, honor in the sight of God for sure, and from other people as well. This is if we receive the instruction correctly. Now, we have one more message, and that is, what are the curses if we reject godly instruction? Actually, I have less points. Maybe as many passages, but less points. I don't know how long that message will take. I almost thought for a bit there as I was preaching that this message was going to end 5 minutes early, and there was no way I was comfortable with that. But it didn't, so I'm okay. Whew! Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would guide us in this. The message today really is to encourage and motivate us to put forth the effort to receive your instruction, to receive your correction the right way, to let it really transform our character the way it's supposed to lead us out of our natural foolishness to your wisdom. And thus to lead us down the path of abundant life. Lord, I pray, help us to be humble, as the message this morning was, humble and submitted to you to let you do this work in our lives, regardless of our age. Regardless of whether we are, as the scriptures would use the term, one among the ancients, or we are, as the scriptures would use the term, one among the children, or we are somewhere in between, that we all would be submitted to your work of instruction and correction in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.